Good morning, everyone. We are officially on day two of our work on the Basics 2.0, which is a program I'm so excited to be able to offer all of you. It takes what you learned in NoBS, Module 1, and it allows you to go deeper, try new things, look at things through a new perspective, and it takes us from just understanding here are the four basics, the basics of how to use them and what to do with them. What I'm really trying to accomplish this month is making sure that once you go through Module 1, what should happen is all the things that don't work, all the things that are the obstacles, all the things that are hard for you, those should be the things coming up. So I want to start today off with kind of explaining how change works, and then we're going to jump right into water and sleep. So a lot of us have a misconception about change. We think that change is like, oh my gosh, Corinne told me that I should stop it enough. And I realize after a couple of weeks, like I stink at that. I'm only doing it a little bit of the time. And we go into self-loathing and we go into shame. And we talk about how we're not getting it. And then we go back and we're like, see, it's just like all the other diets. And we start the toilet spiral of this isn't working. And the problem is that it is working. You're just looking at it wrong. So I want to explain change. I talk a lot about this in different areas, but I don't think it's something that I can harp on enough. So phase one of change is always about 20/80. So you get introduced to a concept. You're like, okay, I'm going to get in there. I'm going to do this. And you start trying things. This is what it all looks like for all of us. And if the more of the habit, like the concept or the habit that you're going to try, the more foreign it is to you, this is how it typically looks. You're doing it about 20% of the time. 80% of the time, you're noticing what gets in the way. Like you totally just forget about it. It's not on your conscious radar yet. So like for all of you, when it comes to eating or going to bed earlier or making sure you're drinking water, since that's the theme of today, you sit there and you're like, oh shit, it's the end of the day. I totally forgot to drink water. Or you're like, oh shit, I just ate everything on my plate. I was supposed to stop it enough. Like that's normal. But as long as about 20% of the time you're remembering, you're consciously setting up all your little triggers. Like for me, here's a big trigger. Guess what is on this desk? 3 bottles of water. I'm going to be chained to my desk all day. I have meetings until I finish with you guys tonight at 6:30. So I start you off at 8:30 in the morning. I go, got a 30-minute break in the middle of the day. And I literally do not get off of Zooms or get off of coaching calls or meetings until 6:30 tonight. So I set myself up for success. I put all that water right here. So I don't have to remember to go get it. I don't have to stop the meeting to go get it. So 20% of the time, it's working. You're doing it. You're having some success. And about 80% of the time, though, you're either missing it, forgetting it, or it's not going like you thought. Like, let's say you set out your water all day long. That's awesome. That means your brain is starting to get aware that you should drink your water. But for some of you, what will happen is you'll get to the end of the day, even if it was sitting right there, you forgot to drink it. That's the 80%. The habit part's not formulated yet. So phase one is always, we're making 20% headway and 80% of the time, we're still waking up our brain. And that is the way I want you thinking about it. What you guys do is like, I do it 20% of the time and 80% of the time, I'm a fuck up. Listen to how I say it. 20% of the time I'm doing it, I'm waking my brain up for the other 80%. And in order to wake your brain up, that means we don't throw out the 20. We don't just quit doing it because we're not going from 0 to 100%. We have to acknowledge progress. We have to acknowledge what's actually going on. So when you keep going, after a week or two, maybe even 3 weeks, what you notice is that 20% now becomes 40%. You notice that you're remembering to do things more often. You're like remembering, like you'll be almost done cleaning your plate. You may already be at full, but you're like, oh yeah, we're supposed to leave food behind. If we start collecting 40% wins. Same thing with the water. You'll lay all your water out. About 40% of the time, you're getting it all down. About 60% of the time, though, you're not. So again, you can either think, I suck because 60% of the time I'm failing, or you could think, all right, progress is being made. I'm at that 40% level. This means that my brain is starting to catch my ass more and more and more and more often. All right. Phase three comes along. Phase three is now 60% of the time, more times than not, you're doing the thing. 40% of the time, you're not. In phase three, I think it's critical. Because in phase two, it's still a lot of just trying to get your brain woken up. When you hit phase three, this is typically what I see happening. 60% of the time, we're doing our thing. 40% of the time, we're not doing our thing, but it's a lot of our mental stuff that's getting in our way. It's not necessarily that we're not forgetting anymore. It's that we come to a crossroad and we choose not to. This is where I think that 40%, where we've like, all right, we've got our brain good and woke up, and now we get to focus on the 40% of our real obstacles. That is our conditioning, our thoughts, our fears. This is about where we start like, okay, rubber's meeting the road now. I'm going to make significant change in my brain. When you do that work, you're doing discovery worksheets. You're asking for help and ask coaches on your thinking. You're listening to coaching calls for people who are having the same issues as you, because you know now a lot of your 40% is truly the emotional obstacles. It's like the I don't want to's. It's I notice I'm still beating myself up. I got to get over that version of me. Like that's the 40%. That's why I think phase three is critical, because in phase three, this is where we're probably going to do the majority of our rewiring on how we think. Then you earn your way into phase four. And phase four is where 80% of the time, shit's happening. You've whittled it down to 20% of the time, you're still making some mistakes. Shit's still happening. Sometimes you just say, fuck it. But most people who are in that 80% range or above, they know how to keep going. They know it's a refinement process. The majority of the success stories who lose all of their weight live in phase four. They might start to beat themselves up, but they're like, oh, not going to work. That's not going to help. So I really wanted to lay this out for you guys. And if you're a perfectionist, if you are someone who tends to beat themselves up, if you are a starter and a stopper, I want you to take this piece, the first, what are we in? I don't even know how many minutes. We're in 8 minutes worth. I want you to listen to this a few times. As many times as you need to listen to this first 8 minutes on repeat, so that when you are wanting to pretend this isn't working, instead of facing the reality, it is working. I just have to be patient. And I got to quit sitting around feeling sorry for myself. In those moments where you want to beat yourself up and pretend that you're not good enough or that you're broken, I want you to face reality. The reality is my brain's waking up. Again, comes back to my patience. It's time to use the most important weight loss skill of all, which is patience for the process to work. That's it. We have to quit pretending that we can't lose weight. And we have to quit pretending that it won't work. I'm going to let you all in on a secret. Go read all the successful people in this program. There's your proof that it works. Whatever you've got going on in your brain, that's called your fairy tale or your nightmare. There's no getting around that the four basics work. So what really has to change is your outlook, how you talk to yourself, expectations of the process, your willingness to be patient, your willingness to face your fears, that's the reality. It is going to be asking a lot of yourself to say, like, I know I'm scared I won't be able to lose weight, but that's just fear talking, because the reality is lots of people do in this program. So there's no arguing with the reality. There's no arguing with the facts. Okay. We're going to talk about the water today. Water and the sleep. Calling BS on all those excuses. Let's go. So water and sleep are keys to overcoming urges. A lot of you sit around and ask me, like, God, Corinne, I got so many urges. I'm just, like, wanting to do all the eating and all the things. And it's always, like, at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock, or 9 o'clock. That's the vast majority of them. Rarely someone says, I woke up at 7 a.m. and just had to eat. I will say 1% of us, sometimes we're just like, fuck this. The day is going to be rough. And we head straight to McDonald's. But the majority of us, what we do is we wake up, we're rested, and we drink some coffee or something. We're at what I call the apex of being like, all right, shit hasn't hit the fan yet today. Figuring out my shit today. This is what I'm doing. Now, water and sleep, what happens is if you are going through your day behind the eight ball on hydration and rest, all day long, your brain is going to be more apt to send up stress hormones, because the lack of water and sleep means your body is stressed. It is stressed physically. We haven't even stressed ourselves out mentally yet. We're just doing a physical stress. And so what happens is the more sleep you get and the more water you get, they are natural hormone stabilizers. They will help you not get so overproduced with cortisol and adrenaline and the hormones that are like, all right, we got to pump all of it out in order to get this bitch going. The other thing about water and sleep is that with water, just a little bit less than what you need will make your front part of the brain, the thinking part of your brain. So don't forget, the habit brain is the one that's like, I got urges. The habit brain is the one that's like, oh my God, you suck. Let's just have a donut. The habit brain is like, oh my God, I'm so terrified that we're not going to be able to lose weight. So let's just go ahead and eat seconds. It was so good. Like, that's your habit brain. Your conscious reasoning brain that I want you using more often is the one that says, oh, well, wait a minute. We have goals. We're going to stop it enough. You're just fine. You're not near as terrible as you think you are. We don't need to get a snack in order to soothe our soul. Well, when you are like just 5% under in your water intake, the first thing your brain does is start shutting down the conscious part. And here's why. It knows it doesn't need it. It's always going to preserve the habit part of your brain. Why? Because not only does the habit part of your brain have like your self-sabotage, your default thinking, your urge talk, all that stuff. It also has lung function, tells your heart to beat, gets your liver doing its job. It controls all of your vital organs. So what part of the brain do you think is going to be considered vital? It's like the back part of your brain, the habit brain, it's an essential worker. You know what the front part is? Non-essential. It's like, no, she can just sit there and make bad decisions all day long. That's okay. She can just underperform at work. Who gives a shit? Like, it literally is going to preserve that part. So you want to make sure that if you want to be able to, number one, be able to say no to urges, don't be low on water and sleep, because it reduces that conscious cognitive function. It's the one that disallows you to have the energy to even talk to yourself about your goals, about what you want to feel tomorrow, why you're not going to eat, why you want to stay on your plan. The other thing that happens is that when your body is well hydrated and your body is well rested, your body now has a like less need to send up a physical demand for more energy. So a lot of times when we're just chronically dehydrated, we tend to be hungrier because our body is literally just trying to get some fluid. So it will get you to eat because at the base level of food, it's made up of water molecules. That's why a lot of us eat, eat, eat. Same thing with sleep. If your body doesn't get enough sleep, it will ask for food because it has historically known, well, if she gets a big fat dose of some sugar, she can make herself keep working. So it's a very broken system. And what we want to do is unbreak that system. So some tips and tricks. Number one, if you're a night owl, let me just tell you, this can change. My husband has always been a night owl. When I first met him, he would come to my house and he would go to work at 11 o'clock at night. That's when he started. He liked to work from he had an office job. He was the director of about 15 programmers. He would start work at 11 and then he would go home at about 2 o'clock the next day when his meetings would end. Then he would sleep until it was time to get Corinne, take her out to dinner, have a little couple time. We were very much in love back in the day. And then he would go to work. He always did better at night. Well, when we had Logan, shit had to change. We couldn't be a night owl anymore. We had to like get on a real schedule. You can't, like, it is a myth that you can't change your natural sleep cycle. So what I suggest is that if you want to change your sleep cycles, or you want to go from being a night owl to someone who either wakes up earlier or who just goes to bed at a better hour, start off with doing just enough backup. One of the things, Megan Schmidt, who's one of our, she's been a member for a long time. I think her Instagram handle is love it, lose it, live it, or maybe it's lose it, live it, love it, something along those lines. If she's here, somebody will tag her. She had something on there today from me where I was talking about all these different things where we're just going to do enough. We're just going to do enough, and how like enough is the new sexy. And I want all of you to think about this. Enough is the best approach ever. Perfectionism is busted. Quit trying to make it work. When we do just enough, guess what? We get to do a lot more. We get to get momentum. We get to get wins. We get to be going after the things we want in our life. So back up your sleep by 5 minutes. Same thing with water. Just add 6 ounces a day or a week to what you normally do until you get to your minimum baselines, until you get to your doable foundations. A lot of you will want to tackle sleep, and I'm like, don't try to go to bed 3 hours earlier and then wonder why it's hard to unwind. Start with what time am I normally falling asleep, and then set an alarm, say, all right, this is when I'm going to bed, 5 minutes earlier. And I'll do that for 3 days, and then I'll back it up 5 minutes earlier. By the end of the month, you will be regulated back, and going to sleep will be easier for you if you just tackle it in little amounts. Rather than all this, like, I'm going to try to be perfect and start 3 hours earlier and then do that for like 2 days, lay there freaking miserable because you can't fall asleep, and then give up on it. That does not work. And the other thing, a point I want to make about water and sleep is don't be a chronic sacrificer of your sleep. I get that sometimes there are times in life where we can't get all the sleep we want. For example, when we do camps, it's rare that I get, Corinne likes 8. It's rare that I get 6. It's full days. I got to get up early. If I want to have Corinne time, I got to get up really early. So for about 4 days, I don't get the normal amount of sleep. But that next week, I do plan to get extra sleep to kind of balance the things. But what I'm not is someone who chronically sacrifices sleep for exercise, chronically sacrifices sleep for Corinne time, chronically sacrifices sleep to do the dishes. There's a difference between every now and then needing to, like, all right, today I'm not going to get the sleep I want, and then being someone who chronically makes an excuse to not drink their water and not get their sleep. The other thing about sleep is don't eat when you're tired. I know that that's crazy. You're going to want to eat when you're tired. But I want you to make a deal with yourself that if you're tired, you don't eat. There are studies that show that there's like the Headspace app, the Calm app, there's all kinds of meditation apps that if you will just meditate for even 2 to 3 minutes, you don't even need to do one where it's 20 minutes of you on a pillow with incense burning and chimes going in the background. Just 2 to 3 minutes of a meditation can give you the benefits of a 20 to 30 minute nap. So if you are tired this month, and that's one of your things, challenge yourself to do a 2 to 3 minute meditation when you normally would eat. Get your brain focused. It is not to quiet your brain. It's to calm your brain. It's to let it just think what it's going to think and then just breathe in and let go of whatever is stressing you, whatever you're thinking or whatever. So don't eat when you're tired. The main reason is that when you eat when you're tired, it's going to affect your overall sleep quality that night. It like signals to your brain when you're if you ate it when you're tired at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, guess what you're going to probably want to do at 9 o'clock when you're tired, but you just want to stay up a little bit longer because you hadn't had your me time yet. Your brain is making an association that when you're tired, it's a cue to send up hunger and cravings and urges. So you want to break eating when you're tired as often as possible, because the last thing you need is being sleepy to cue hunger and cravings versus cueing your ass to go to bed. And then keep hydrated to improve sleep quality. It is a huge improver of sleep quality. And the way that I count, this gets asked a lot, is do I count? So I have like things that I wear. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But the way I count sleep is I count the time I've been in bed. Even if I like am laying there and I'm not sleeping, I just always count that. So don't get too hung up in the beginning, like, well, do you only count the time that you're asleep? Do you do this? It's like sometimes in the mornings, if I'm really tired, I will lay in the bed for an hour and I will just think through my day. I'm wafting in and out of sleep. I'm thinking about how I want to feel for the day, how I want to show up. I'm like mentally going through my day. And I always count that towards my sleep, because I am allowing myself to let my brain get in tuned and focused. The more, like when you have middle of the night eating, so a lot of you are like, well, what about me? I tend to want to eat in the middle of the night. I know this is a tough one. My best advice is to deprogram yourself, which means that if you're used to eating in the middle of the night, and this goes for a lot of you who start, like, you notice that during the day you don't need to eat as much. You start waking up in the middle of the night hungry. That's very normal at first, and here's why. Your body has been used to you snacking instead of, and like adding food instead of when it wants to burn some calories and burn some energy. It's not used to go into the fat stores on your body yet. So it's got to get trained to do that. And the best way to do it is for a few nights, like it might take 4 or 5 days to just lay there and say, I'm not going to eat, because pretty soon this part will be over. This will be done. I'm training my body to snack on my butt and my thighs instead of snacking in the pantry. So when you are a middle of the night eater, it's really important that you understand it does go away. It's real quick that your body will get retrained. Your body wants to dine in on itself. It wants to use your stored calories. But when we've been feeding ourselves for a long time and overfeeding ourselves for a long time, we decondition our body to go into our own self to get its energy needs. And that's what we're going to do. So don't eat during the middle of the night. And after a few days, I promise you, your body will stop trying to wake you up. The body wants you to sleep. It wants you to sleep really bad. It is wired to rest. Do not sit there and think that your body doesn't want it, because it does. And so what you've got to do is really teach it good quality sleep. One of the other things is when you wake up in the middle of the night with your mind racing, this used to be me. There's a couple of things that have helped me. Number one, I clean my brain out first thing in the morning. Y'all know I'm a journaler. That has helped me improve my nighttime sleep more than anything. The other two hacks that I have are, the last thing I do each day is I make a list of anything that I think I need to remember to plan the next day. So if I, like, I'm pretty good about like having my weekly plan laid out, but if I have any ideas or anything, having a container for that stuff is wonderful. Your brain is not meant to be a container. It is meant to process information. And what most of us do is we try to just remember what we got to do tomorrow. We allow ourselves to just think on it. You need a container. Now, most of our brains don't know the difference between it being pulled, put into a calendar versus just a piece of paper. So one of the things that's helped me is when I wrap up the day, I do a quick download of just everything I want to remember for tomorrow. Like, what do I need to remember? And then that way, when I first get up in the morning and I'm going to plan my day, I can look at that. And what I've noticed over time is a lot of the things that feel so important that I'm carrying around in my brain, the next day, it's really easy to prioritize them. And it's really easy sometimes to even say no, because now I'm back at my apex of being rested, hydrated, and have my long-term future in mind. And so sometimes what I would have said yes to that I'm going to worry and stew about all night long and stuff, the next morning, I'm way more clear-headed and I know what to do with them more effectively. The third thing is I do keep something next to my bed. So if I wake up in the middle of the night with brilliance, which happens all the time, I'm just going to tell you, I'm brilliant. I write it down. It allows, again, my brain to not lay there and try to process things. If you wake up with worry, write down your worries. It makes your brain think that it's got a container now. The last thing your brain wants to do is try to hold things. It's not good at holding them. That's why it turns into worry, stewing, and spiraling. So get it out on paper. The other thing is, if you have a hard time staying asleep at night, there are several things that you can do. You can boost your fats and your carbs at dinner. Women notoriously have been proven that having some carb at night. Now, guys, I don't mean go eat Oreos and shit like that, but having a potato, rice, something along those lines at dinner does help women sleep better at night. There are studies that show that when we eat, that having those carbs later in the day just help us. They help us more at the end of the day than they help us at the start of the day. Doesn't mean you guys have to get all wrapped up in that, but I almost always am eating beans, rice, or potatoes with my dinners. Always. Some toast. A lot of times I'll have a salad and I'll have a couple of pieces of Ezekiel bread with a little butter on it. I think it helps. It's just a little something that you can plan into your food stuff. The main things I want you to stop doing, though, when it comes to the mental side of sleep and water, is stop telling yourself, I slept terrible, that you're not a good sleeper, and that sleep is hard for you. This is all bullshit. Let me tell you why it's bullshit. These thoughts raise your emotions. They exhaust you. They pile emotional tired on. This is emotionally tired descriptors. It's crap. You do not need to sit around and be like, oh my God, I slept so terrible last night. How's that feel? Defeated, like crap, unfair, hard, set you up for dread. Guess what? How about we just said, I slept last night. I'll bet I'll do just fine today. Like, think anything but these things. You do not need to sit around and talk about what a terrible sleeper you are. I'm not a good sleeper. I'm a terrible sleeper. That'd be like your kid. Like, would you let your kid be like, well, you know, I'm just terrible at math. You know me, I'm a terrible student. You know me, I'm terrible at all the sports and things I do. Like, if they just like talk to you every day about just stating the news, wouldn't you eventually say something to them like, think anything else? You would. Because letting kids just sit around and talk about all the things they're terrible at as if it's true is not helpful. It's not helpful for you either. And let me just tell you, and sleep is hard for me. No, it's not. Let me tell you why. Sleep is something I'm working on. Sleep is something I'm going to get better at. There's 1,000 other ways to say it. Y'all quit sitting around in your shitty diapers describing your lives as hard, terrible, what you're not good at. It's not good enough. You wonder why you want to eat at night? It's because all day long we're dying by 1,000 cuts like this. It's crap. And when you think this all day long, guess what? The closer and closer you get to bedtime, you're going to be anxious. You're going to be jacking your cortisol up, because if your whole story is that sleep's hard for you and stuff, guess what? Impending doom. We're getting near the hard part of our life. It makes no sense. So stop doing it. Do your thought work around that. All right, here's some water and sleep aids. The Oura Ring. I wear this. It's a sleep tracker. O-U-R-A. Please feel free to go out onto the internet and research it. I'm not going to spend this whole video talking about it. This is about a $300 ring. It tracks steps. It tells me if I've, like, the thing that I love most about it is I can wake up in the morning and it will tell me not only my sleep quality, but it will tell me if I'm like ready to go for the day. There are days where it will say like, whoa, something messed up your sleep last night, or you didn't get as much rest, or you didn't recover as usual. You might want to take it easy. I down-regulate my workouts on those days. If I have a hard one planned and my Oura Ring is saying like, I don't know about this, like your resting heart rate was really high last night, I walk. So I use this as a guidance to just kind of keep like listening to my biometrics. The Ouler pad, O-O-L-E-R pad. For those of you with night sweats, you may want to look into this. They're not cheap, but they run cold water under your ass all night long. It's the best thing I've ever gotten. When I'm cold, I turn the son of a bitch up and I get warm. When I'm hot, I turn it way down and I sleep like I'm in a little bear cave. Sleep Remedy is the pills that I take. They have a little bit of melatonin, just a tad, tryptophan, and they have magnesium, which is a triple remedy. I take 3 sleep remedies. All of this is on pnp411.com/faves, F-A-V-E-S. We'll put a link in the show notes. I take 3 sleep remedies a night. And I drink a serving of Natural Calm, which is magnesium. A lot of us are magnesium deficient. You can look all this up on the internet. You can ask people inside the group all about it. But those are the things that I do. People always ask me, what's that shit in your water, Corinne? It's called Extend, X-T-E-N-D. It's on my faves page also. Guys, it just makes the water taste good. It's got branched chain amino acids in it. For those of you who work out, it's good for you. Helps preserve muscle. It is not a fat burner. A lot of people are like, do you drink that to lose weight? No. It, like, literally, Chris and I have been drinking it for about 12 years. We drink grape. It's our favorite flavor, and we've been drinking it forever. We just love it. And fizzy waters to get your water down. There's nothing wrong with fizzy waters. I think that they're amazing. My best friend, Jane, who is an Ironman athlete, she drinks a fizzy water at least one every single day. It's just a good, fun way to get your water intake in. So here's your call to action, guys. Here's what we're doing. What percent do you want to aim for in sleep and water this month on that habit tracker? A lot of you did that yesterday. And then today's call to action is, what can you do to level up what you currently do? So if you, like for me, this month, I am going to make sure that not only do I have the 3 bottles of water on my desk every day, but I've made Chris be in charge of checking in to make sure that I have them, that I didn't forget. I've also, because I don't like to have a lot of water bottles laying around, I've put Logan in charge of coming in here, collecting my empty bottles and putting them in the recycling for me so that I have no excuses to sit around and not drink my water. So I want you to think about something that you can do. What's a little tip? What's a little something? And share it in our call to action thread today. All right, guys, you have a good one. I've got another call starting. I will see you tomorrow. Don't forget, tomorrow's call is at 9 a.m. Central Time. And we are going to do a worksheet together Everything is in your resource guide. If you go over to the website, you'll find all the information you need. Talk to you later, guys. Bye.